Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace family, welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, please click on the Follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. Please use the same name to join the ULU community that you used to join ULU. I am Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of ULU. Our topic for tonight is, what's in the news, African family? Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you doing tonight?
Peace, Sister Q. I'm doing good. Always good to be with the family, with the sisters and brothers.
It's good to have you here again, Brother Thurman. What's in the news that is helpful for the African family to be aware of, Brother Thurman?
Yes. Amongst the things that we must always do, we must strive to incorporate in every day and every moment that we can to have some joy, especially amongst each other. And so I will start there. And the good thing is that there's joy amongst us, you know, by telephone and internet radio on this call and other calls. And there's more sisters and brothers around the world that are awakening to higher and higher heights. And we've got to stay on that flow and take it higher and come back to our high level, high culture greatness. And it's there waiting for us, and more of us are waking up, and the evidence is there. So the things on the upside or to the greatest good is happening with our people. And there's still a segment that just haven't realized how they've been duped, tricked, and deceived, and they're going in another direction. It's like Dr. Ariana, Ariana, she was saying recently, whether our people are educated or miseducated, there's a segment of us that's just dangerous to be amongst our people because of their mindset that has been tricked and deceived. And so along the way towards us continuing the liberation movement, and we must participate and we must get greater and greater clarity in unlimited fashion, because whatever it is that knew or thought I knew yesterday, there's still always more, always more. Whatever you have arrived at that's better than it was yesterday or last month or last year, there's still more. If you feel bad and somebody told you to get a bicycle and do some bike riding or do some jogging, and if you did either one of those and you came back and said, oh, I feel so much better, and that's all I need now. That's all I need. I don't need no more. But there's always more.
It's so
when it comes to exercise, that's right. Yeah, so when it comes to exercise, there's higher levels of beneficial exercise beyond bike riding and jogging. And one of the things
that
we've got to do, yes.
So, yeah, I was going to say, that's very true. And people always think that, you know, I'm out of shape, I can't exercise. But you can start at the lowest, at the least impact.
That's
walk.
Right. That's right. That's right. You got it. Yeah, I like the way you said that. That reminds me that when I used to work with Dick Gregory, one of the things he was saying to the people about getting out, because I was a distributor in two of his companies, and he was talking to the people, was talking about, you know, they had to get out and walk or go from door to door or whatever, and just talking about putting out some energy. He said, but do that like you do if you hobble or if you had one leg shorter than the other and you limp into the convenience store to get a lottery ticket. He said, get out there and do something for your people. It's like you limp into the lottery, and they do. So the people that come in to buy the big gulps and lottery tickets in the convenience store, they're in all kind of not good shape. But they come
That's
in the door
true.
To get that. And if we come to the cultural centers that we so badly need, limp in there, just like you would, or the people would, that when their only hope is that lottery ticket and that great big drink to pacify them.
No doubt.
So I'm looking at a picture of a type of hawk, unusual hawk, and the message says, a focused mind rarely misses its target. Hence, recognize and grow above distraction, and you would certainly be at your destination. And so once again, if you think about a hawk, falcon, eagles, and things like that, the beginning of what I read said, a focused mind rarely misses its target. And the birds of prey, sometimes they miss, and sometimes they get caught in some other chaos, get attacked back. But rarely do they miss. The falcon that can dive 100 miles or more an hour from 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 miles because he can see that far. When he dives, he comes so fast and hits so hard, he rarely misses his mark.
Wow.
And we've got to retrain our minds and be disciplined and write it down and read it every day like an affirmation or part of your meditation. Things like such as grid, a focused mind rarely misses its target. And it's like a few days ago, a sister wanted me to look at a video of a brother lives in Florida. Mm-hmm. He's 104 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He says he pretty much, he eats a plant-based diet. And he talked about some other things that he did in his life. And he said he, for the most part, for years and years, and even now, he goes to bed early, which is about 8 o'clock.
But
he's hit his target because he was intentional and disciplined about it.
Mm-hmm.
And see, he came along at a time, you know, most of his life, a big portion of his life, people didn't have electricity, especially black folks.
Mm-hmm.
So when people that grew up in the country, you know, and I'm one of them, without electricity, they know what it was like that people operated based on nature and the universe. And when the universe and nature had daylight in, everything got quiet all over, in the woods included. And it was a natural flow, and it still is a natural flow. We have just been tricked and deceived to where when they brought this electricity and all this other technology, then we think it's normal to stay up to 11 or 12 or 1 o'clock. And it ain't normal. It's abnormal. And you pay a price for it. And so when the hawks start getting distracted with whatever like the people are, they would be missing their target, and they might go extinct. They certainly would be hungry a whole lot. And we've got to raise up our conscious. And so I want to give praise to, in Africa, and I believe it's Burkina Faso, if I'm correct, Brother Abraham Traore. He's a brother that's been attacked a few times in the last year to take him out and to take him out of power. But he and his team have been so aware and so sharp that they've repelled every attack that has come towards him, and that is so good. And this is among the warriors that all of us need to be like him and emulate him. And he says, I would rather die than accept new colonial masters. And he stands on that. We've got to do that, and we've got to just know. And here's an example of a true African warrior, a true leader, no fear for invaders that could hang him. And soon Africa will have plenty of true warriors because there are more Africans across the land that are coming along to support him and others that are standing up like true warriors. And it says, all colonial coconuts, sellouts, will be wiped out of the African system, and a new Africa is rising for a better Africa. Traore is not alone. Billions and billions of Africans are behind him. How do you know colonial coconuts, the puppets, they love investors / invaders more than their own citizens, and they would give away the natural resources to these invaders while the citizens suffer in poverty. They have no solutions without their masters, invaders. They are misleaders. Viva Traore. Mm-hmm. So we've got to correct the misinformation and the misleaders, and it's not acceptable for them to be causing us to lose our homeland, our possessions, but especially lose our lives, our babies, our women, and on and on. And we can't accept that. And Brother Imwalamu Baruti, of his many books, I believe one of them is called Notes Towards Higher Ideas in African Intellectual Liberation. And part of what's in the book, it says, the assumption that everybody must be involved is a backward approach toward a consistent revolutionary progression, because it calls for unity before consciousness instead of consciousness before unity, which is an underlying requirement among a group where the idea of a need for revolution is contested area. And there are a number of concrete reasons why unity before consciousness is fundamentally flawed. And I hope that people get this, that he's saying that when people have been for years and years constantly speak of unity, few speak of consciousness. Because when the consciousness rises up and the clarity that comes with that, I'm just adding this, unity mm-hmm. will happen. But if
for
we
sure.
all gather up wherever on this planet tomorrow by the hundreds of thousands and we got confused unity, then that may not work out very well, not to the greatest good.
Mm-hmm. You know, that goes back to what you were saying before, focused attention rarely misses its mark.
That's right.
That is, if it's going to bring a desirable outcome or undesirable outcome, whatever you're focusing on strongly, you will bring it into existence. So it's good that you mentioned that people have to have a singularity of purpose in their consciousness before they decide they're going to do something, because one group will go this way, another group will go that way, a different group will go the next way. And each group thinks they're in unity. However, they have different consciousness, so they're working toward different goals.
Yes. And so that's why, like I said about the hawk and what you just said about the hawk, not being distracted and staying focused strictly on your target. When we do that, we would have like the birds of prey and others that rarely miss their target. We would gain greater and greater clarity, a sharper focus like the birds of prey. And there would be less and less confusion amongst us, and we would have clarity. And we would be more successful. And we've got to, along the way, like Malcolm said in so many words, that he said in his last years, that I could spend every day in the library because there's just so much more to learn. And he also said, paraphrasing it, not exact, that learn, read some of everything, because you never know when you could use it. But when we don't, we're suffering a deficiency. It's just like something I'll probably read in a minute that was talking about cancer foods that would defeat cancer. Mm-hmm. But there's a whole bunch of people, a bunch of African people, that have no clue of what that's about. Some cancer society needs to continue to raise money to find a cure. And there's always been a cure.
Exactly. Before many cures.
Many cures. Thank you, sister. Thank you, sister. Before the invaders showed up on the planet, there was Africans, mm-hmm. including the Twa, that had hundreds of cures. They said that mm-hmm. anything they had a cure for.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got to create the climate and the places and the cultural centers and our own schools where all of us would know that.
For sure.
And it's just like I read something about from the electric car company that sell very, very high dollar cars, but they were talking about how they were building cars that in so many words would make things on the planet sustainable and like they were doing something good. But in the mm-hmm. words that they were writing, they talked about how they were building high-performance cars.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to myself, I said, a lot of people, that would they would just read that and just keep reading, but they would never think, what? High-performance? For what? To race? I mean, it's just like in the 60s and 70s, there was cars that got 40 miles to a gallon. They didn't come from a stoplight like and burn rubber, but they got you where you were going. Why do you need high-performance cars? And a lot of people just missed that line that was put in there. I said, isn't that interesting? But now if you watch people from day to day, anywhere where there's mm-hmm. lots of people, and it includes lots of cars, there's lots of all
mm-hmm.
day long.
Mm-hmm.
Because they enter this high-performance, artificial mentality, not a nature focused on their target calmly, but this artificial way.
Mm-hmm.
And so our very, our ancestor, warrior, professor, Amos Wilson wrote during his many writings, including the Blueprint to Black Power, he wrote a book called The Psychology of Self-Hatred and Self-Defeat and Toward the Reclamation of the African Mind, a reclamation of the African mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we got confused self-hatred, then we're having self-defeat, and we may have no clue of where it came from until we have an awakening. And so we've got to, like Malcolm said, study some of everything. So everything that we learned about health last year could help us if we encounter something yesterday or today that could
mm-hmm.
give us a solution from the universe, from the spirit world, or from nature of how to deal
sure.
with it. When we're not learning some of everything, what could, that there's actually herbs that will stop bleeding and there's herbs that will keep us in a calm state of mind, herbs and plants. And I came across something a few weeks ago. I was searching for something else, and I came across two or three pages that where they had done some studies that there's a growing segment of our people that are using plants, teas like ginkgo and lion's mane, cordyceps, and shilajit to put them in a focused, calm way, but it also improves your cognitive or the function of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they're using it to help them, to help the people to navigate through racism. And it's finding some of these things, and I'm not talking about hallucinogens, but they're finding some of these things, some of these nutrients from plants,
mm-hmm.
from the earth, that will just put mm-hmm. them at a level of calmness and peace from day to day, that
mm-hmm.
they're not getting the anxiety and the stress and even anger that's the result of the racism that's all around us.
You know, that made me think of a video I listened to not too long ago, and they were talking about how holding in the emotions you feel when you are attacked will say because of your race, but we know it's not because of your race. It's because people don't have any good sense. But you internalize it and you think and you hold it in. And they said that's one of the causes of some of the cancers that people
mm-hmm.
have. And the story was basically about a boy who was 13 that has stomach cancer. And the underline of it was when he was in school, he could not speak up freely. So I think it's interesting that they will come up again with a pill to deal with a symptom rather than get rid of the underlying cause.
Yes.
So we'll sell you something to chill you out rather than get rid of, you know, educate people and do what you need to do so that you don't have to chill yourself out for that or anything else. You can move freely in society. That's not, there's no money in you moving freely in society. The money is selling those herbs and different things. So.
Yep. And so we need to learn everything that we can to help us to not have to go through that, but for those that do, we need our own healers that can guide them through emotional traumas and how to forgive those emotions and things like that, because when people make peace, forgive, and however you want to word, various emotions
mm-hmm.
that have caused a physical problem many, 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 many times long, long ago, the problem will disappear. And I had one as a child that
mm-hmm.
caused, that was internalized stuff that caused me
mm-hmm.
to at times have severe and long-lasting nosebleeds.
Wow. Okay.
I didn't know it, but my mother was taking this stuff deeply in terms of searching for a solution. And
mm-hmm.
she and what I think now was a dentist, and I'm sure it was, she took me to him as if he was some kind of a far-out scientist. And
mm-hmm.
he examined up my nose with a light, and he made the diagnosis right in front of me, that this great big
mm-hmm.
chair with this great big machine that looked something like something from outer space, he told
mm-hmm.
me that for her to just bring me back in another week or so, and if I was still having a nosebleed, he was going to take that device and turn on this high-powered device and stick
mm-hmm.
part of that probe up my nose and burn
mm-hmm.
and burn something up in my nose that was allowing the blood to flow out of my nose.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they were, I can't think of the best word I want to use, but they were tricking me.
Mm-hmm.
He was using some technology.
Mm-hmm.
When
mm-hmm.
I looked at, and they could tell by my eyes, when I looked at that device, and I said, what? You can stick it up my nose and turn on some electricity like the electric chair? And my inner self said, no!
Uh-huh.
And after that day, I didn't have any
mm-hmm.
more nosebleeds.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It was emotionally healed because
mm-hmm.
it was an emotional issue in the first place.
Exactly.
And so that, lots of books been out for a long time, for, 40 years ago, there was a book anyway, the author's name was Louise Hay, that documented various, almost everywhere on the body, that dis-ease can appear as the result of some emotional issue, and it was not a broken organ or something like that, but just emotional stuff that traumatized, internalized, like you said. So we've got to have these kind of conversations about some of everything, like Malcolm talked about. And that's what you bringing forth when you brought forth the 13-year-old boy. We need to talk about this. I'm aware of just recently, in recent couple of weeks or so, of a dog that had a visitor come to the family's home, and the visitor was giving the dog during the daytime when the family would normally be at work so much love. When that person left, the dog was having an emotional trauma to the point that it caused the dog to just have a lot of nervous tension, and the family took the dog to the vet, and the vet put it on some kind of a drug, and the dog didn't need the drug. He needed more love. He needed the love he was getting when the visitor was there for a couple of weeks or so.
Right.
And all of us need them. So that's why we've got to, you know, take on the mindset of kind of like Frankie Beverly and Maze, you know, happy feeling. And we've got to develop, especially amongst us. So that's why when I come on the radio and you ask me how do I feel, I say I feel good.
Because of course, yeah.
I'm with the people, and I feel good, and I give thanks that because of you and because of Ancestor Dale Jones, that as he was saying before we started the show, that always give praise to the ancestors. Pour libations. And things like that will help keep us in order and help keep that happy feeling within us, amongst us, with us. And we do a whole lot better. So we've got to study and learn some of everything. And Brother Barutis writes, the person who studies to overcome, who studies not just to get mad, but how not just to get mad, but how to get even, to have real control of his destiny, approaches his studies in a very different way from one who is studying just to get a job, studying just to qualify. He learns different things and uses what he learns in different kinds of ways. As long as your goal is merely to work for good white folks and to be treated fairly by good white folks, your mind is not going to fulfill its potential. When your goal is to attain mastery and control of yourself and to neutralize white power, then you know right from the start that you've got to outthink and outsmart the white man. And you know you've got to change your social organization and your social relationships. That realization will bring about total transformation of your socio-political thinking and behavior that will help you achieve your goals. But if you don't set that goal, your mind will not be organized, will not organize itself to achieve it. The goal we set for ourselves is what helps us to organize our brain and our minds. People with no goals, no enemies, and no higher aims are people whose brains essentially are going to operate on a lowly organized level.
That's true.
So we've got to be the ones to make sure that we are in our ones that we value, our sisters and brothers that we value, and our ancestors and their writings and their teachings and their passed down knowledge, that we are programmed properly in a disciplined fashion and that we would hit that target more most of the time.
Right.
But as somebody else wrote, when you don't recognize your open enemies due to a lack of studying them like they study you, they'll have you wearing their symbols proudly and thinking it's just a fashion statement.
That's true.
And so in a few weeks.
And charging you extra for it.
That's right. And charging you, yes. And so in a few weeks, as it has been all of our lives, Sister Q and sisters and brothers in the audience, there'll be some Africans, confused Africans, putting on green and acting and pretending they're a leprechaun. But it's symbol, probably thinking it's just a fashion statement. We've got to get foolishness like that out of our mind. That's part of that self-hatred thing. And so I find it offensive. You know, I'm not angry about it because it serves no purpose. I just find it offensive to think that some will cross our path if we're out in public and may even say happy whatever day. They got nothing to do with African people. And another piece of wisdom says, if you don't distance yourself from indoctrinations, if you don't distance yourself from indoctrinations, those indoctrinations will distance you from yourself.
Okay.
I hope that makes some sense.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah, so those indoctrinations will distance you from yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And we got the opportunity to correct that because we're wise enough to do that. It's just like if the indoctrinations from whatever, any kind of institutions and belief systems included. And about a little over 4 years ago, this Black Economics Group, they did some research at that time, and they what they came across in terms of the statistics that they found is that Black churches have collected $800 billion in 10 years. And this was about 4 years ago. But $800 billion? That is huge if they collected that this year. Even though, you know, dollar value and all that stuff has changed. But the message that should be easy for us to just evaluate is what would we accomplish? What could we? How much is how many directions beneficial to our people could we accomplish if the $800 billion that was contributed by Black people and Black churches was used to truly uplift us and not to build bigger and huger mega buildings for the church purpose only, but building factories and building schools that was educating us properly and not miseducating us at all. $800 billion.
That's the, again, that goes to the focused intention because the people in the church, I don't say all of them, but I'll say the majority of them, they like the idea that their church is bigger than the church up the street. They like the idea that their pastor drives a Rolls Royce and they have to take the bus. They like the idea that their pastor has his own private jet and they have to fly economy class. None of this is just I don't understand the psychosis of it, but I have heard people say these things about their pastors and about their churches. So they don't see the need to help the black community or even the environs of their megachurch that's sitting in the middle of a place where people are homeless and hungry and the children can't get an education. They have blinders to all of that. They're just proud of their big church.
When there's confusion or lack of clarity about
exactly
what is spiritually what is spiritually correct versus the programming of what is materialistically correct. See, when you were describing the people, and they, in so many ways, in some ways in their mind, applauding the one with the Rolls Royce or with the jet, they are applauding and advocating materialistic lust and insanity, and with no clue about what ecologically to your mind, to the planet and the universe, is this doing? So all of these new trinkets that people are buying up massively when they can get the money, and if they ain't got the money, if they could get it, they go buy it. They'd buy it all up. But it's having an impact on the mind, on the ecology of the planet and the universe, with so many billions or trillions and maybe beyond trillions of pieces of plastic and whatever to create this stuff. And they got nothing to do with nature. So it's like I've said before, repeating in paraphrasing KRS-One, that came out with a conversation, and he was talking to a brother, and he said, we got to go back to God, the universe, and nature. And he said, hold on, hold on. Let me back this up again. G-U-N. He said, I just gave you a weapon. G-U-N, God, the universe, and nature. Did I say that right? Yeah, G-U-N. And so when we embrace that kind of thought of God, the universe, and nature, and that's not talking about microplastics by the trillions or multi-trillions. It's not talking about that. It's talking about what was here with the people, with the planet, with the universe millions of years ago. It didn't have nothing to do with microplastics and toxic water, toxic air, toxic chemicals being sprayed in the air. And the other stuff, you know, the lust for whatever new electric cars or the driverless cars and autonomous, maybe that's the word. We got to break free from and recognize the insanity and what it's doing ecologically to the mind and to the bodies for all of the people. In the meantime, they'll continue to abuse us openly and think that we like it like that, or we ain't going to do nothing about it. And so I've got a piece right here. It would suit me just well, you know, spend 5 minutes to play the video of the audio, but I'll just tell you what it's talking about. It's going to be posted, you know, pretty soon. But anyway, this brother and this group of sisters and brothers did a report entitled, Why Can't Jamaicans Access Their Own Beaches? And so Jamaica, as one of the brothers, the facilitator of the conversation, said that it's surrounded by water. And but there was some international decree made by some British people in 1950s, as they repeated on the video, if I played the thing, that designated that the beaches of Jamaica belong to these white people. So now, right at this present time, and this was about 3 months ago when they did this video, sisters and brothers in Jamaica are protesting to say that prior to the white folks coming and putting up wooden and concrete walls to separate the beach areas and the high-rise hotels, there were Jamaicans that made a living and fed their family by fishing, and they could take their boats to the water every morning and go out and fish and bring fish, sell fish, eat fish. Now they have put up concrete walls, and this was all on the video, concrete walls.
Right.
And they have hired some of their own people as security to keep us out. And so the local Jamaicans cannot go to the beach, and maybe 5% of the beaches they got access to. The rest of it, unless you've got the kind of money. So as one 70-year-old brother said, he said, look up there on the hill. He said, that's where I've been living all my life. He said, until they put up these concrete walls, I could come down the hill and in 10 minutes be at the beachfront and get in my boat and go out there and fish and catch enough fish so that I could feed my family. And it found out that on a good day in Jamaican dollars, which may have only came out to be $25, but anyway, on a good day, he said, he talked about how much he could make, which wasn't getting rich, just getting by. But they also talked about how much it would cost per day in U.S. dollars to get a room in these hotels, which is at least $100. But the Jamaicans are making $25. And then outside of these concrete walls, they showed blocks and blocks of maybe miles and miles of fishing boats, including jet skis and other things, was just sitting there idle because the white folks have built these walls and got security and locked them out of being able to get to the ocean, not to come to their resort and to their hotel, but to get to the ocean to get food and to do business.
That's not acceptable. I was listening to a young lady on a video talking about pretty much the same thing. And she was saying that it was like the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, and some other organizations that just decided that Jamaica and various other places, their thing would be tourism. And so they locked everybody out of everything so that they would be forced to work in the tourism industry and not make much money.
You're so right.
She was talking about how, you know, like you would go to these all-inclusive resorts and the people that are serving you and taking care of you are basically living on slave wages. They get next to no money. And as you say, they're paying, you know, the people that are coming pay $100 a day and sometimes two and three times that. And the people that are the people that work there don't make any money. And that the places had a policy where you were not allowed to tip the people that were helping you. So it was, you know. What you just said is another side or additional information about what I just heard a woman say maybe last week about Jamaica.
So we've got to put our mind and body and be fit with our mind, our spirit, our mind, and our body and feed ourselves in nutritional ways to survive and have a serious survival strategy and how to keep ourselves well. And we should keep strapped with that G-U-N, God, the universe, and nature. But at the same time, we should not be deceived or thinking that we shouldn't have some insight about a man-made weapon, gun. And there's a group called the Survival Sisters. And I'm looking at a picture of a sister, and she was practicing real-time training for real, even though she was firing at targets. But she had a semi-automatic machine gun. She's got it in her hand. And in the video, she had on her side a semi-automatic pistol in the training for that day, and it wasn't planned that way. But the fact is that these weapons any of them can, on occasion, jam, misfire. And she actually had the machine, the semi-automatic rifle jammed.
Mm-hmm.
The trainer was there telling her, get busy, get busy. Don't be defeated. The enemy is still coming. And she got down on her knees, and she was just moving as fast as she can, and she was dipping the barrel of the gun down in the dirt. He said, no, 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 don't let the barrel of the gun get dirt in it. And
right,
she
unjammed
it, put another clip in, and stood back up, and he said, they're coming, they're coming. And she went back to fire, and then it jammed again. So then she did what she had learned, and she pulled out the semi-automatic pistol, and she began firing that. But on Facebook, it's called the Survival Sisters, and they're practicing crawling through the woods and things like that. And we need to be aware as a part of our overall self-defense of these things.
For sure.
And, and earlier, we've got to, among the weapons that we must use is natural health as a weapon to stay well, to heal ourselves, and stay away from medical institutions. And a brother said, when you start taking care of yourself, you start feeling better, you start looking better, and you start to attract better. It all starts with you. And you start to attract better. People can attract better. We've just got to come up on a higher level. And so when we do what he said, taking care of yourself, you start feeling better, you start looking better, and you start to attract better. We got to do that. It's in our greatest good. And brother, African proverb says, where you settle in old age depends on where you stood in your youth. And in old age, the 104-year-old that I told you about a little while ago is still spry, slim, agile moving, and got and takes moringa, you know, that grows in Africa prolifically, all over the place. But where he settled in old age depends on where he stood in his youth, but he's been on the move in his youth. He's still growing stuff. He's still fit, 104 years old. But we can look around at sisters and brothers, especially the ones that are waddling into the dialysis center and diabetes and all of this and high blood pressure. But a lot of them, where they stood in their youth, was unnatural. And in so-called old age, they are less mobile and agile and whatever because of they didn't stand like the 104-year-old. And we can change all of that. And I mentioned earlier cancer-killing fruits that would include peaches, soursop, and just today I read about soursop tea leaves and the numerous benefit of soursop, S-O-U-R-S-O-P. And plums, tart cherries that help with gout and other things that's causing people pain, and grapes, whiff seeds, only whiff seeds, and kiwi, avocado, strawberries, if they're organic, because strawberries otherwise are one of the most pesticide-sprayed fruits, pomegranates, apples, dragon fruit, and a whole lot more. And so we can turn this around. And in New York, currently, right yesterday, been going on for some time there, some brothers is showing a picture of four brothers, you know, great big, that wide display of watermelons. Now, right now in New York City, they are founders of a black-owned watermelon company in New York City, and they drive 16 hours a day to get fresh produce to bring it. They're bringing it to New York City, and they're selling out. And so if you look up Black Seed Brothers, Brothers, you'll find a poster they had yesterday or the day before that said sold out because people are coming from all over the place. And not only are they selling big time, but they're giving and they're helping the homeless. And somebody comes, say they're hungry, they feed them.
Mm. You know, now that's a good idea. However, it's winter time in New York, and watermelon is a cooling fruit. It's a summer fruit.
I agree with you on that.
I like the idea of what they're doing with the watermelon. I just think this is not the proper time to be feeding people watermelon in New York.
Yeah. But see, that's why in Africa forever, that was what was called African deep thought. And you just came with a deep thought. And I really appreciate it because a lot of folks wouldn't think and got the insight that you've got on what you just said. You know, the only thing I can say is I take it that they're capturing the market and making themselves known, and they're just selling them big time. Yeah. And they're capturing the fact that more and more sisters and brothers and others are aware, and especially watermelon with seeds and black seeds.
Right.
And that's why they call it the Black Seed Brothers. And so they're showing it sliced watermelon with seeds, black seeds. And so it's something that we need to know about just to know how people are doing things like that. And
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I like that also, too, that it's the watermelon with seeds because I asked my son to find me a watermelon with seeds, and he started calling it a unicorn because he couldn't find it.
Yes.
He couldn't find a watermelon. This was in the summertime, though, but he couldn't find a watermelon with seeds.
Yes.
So I'm glad the brothers got trailers full of watermelon with seeds.
Oh, yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. And so in New York City, they're extremely hard to find seeded watermelons and pesticides and not loaded with pesticides. And I just want to read one more thing. Banneker City, a so-called D.C., prolific writer, poet, cultural freedom fighter, Sister Laini Mataka, she wrote that things that would scare Yorugu. And for people that don't know, Yorugu is a Dogon name for a being that's incomplete. And that's the title of Marimba Ani's book that came out many, many years ago called, my goodness. Anyway, it's a study of the mind of the European. And I know the name of it. I can't tell you. But anyway, the title of the book is called Yorugu. Laini went on to say, wrote, if we tossed their culture under the bus, or things that would scare Yorugu or Europeans, it would scare them if we tossed their culture under the bus, including St. Patrick's Day and all the European holidays. If we only spent our money with each other, if none of their women could attract any black man, if we established neighborhood improvement groups to keep them out of our communities, if we produced our own music, if we called the continent of Africa our home and we treated it as such, if we only wore hairstyles that complemented the natural textures of our own hair, if we made and wore our own underwear, like Dr. Clark talked about, if we taught black ecology to our children an hour a day after school and 2 hours on the weekends, if all of our artistic representations of God were black. So those were 10 points that she wrote that would scare the Yorugu or the Europeans if we embraced those things.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for that, Brother Sermon.
Yes, family. Mr. Q, you still there?
Okay. Yes, I'm still here.
Yeah, so I give thanks, and you go ahead and take us to the next level.
I want to thank you, Brother Sermon, for the information you shared with us tonight, and I want to thank everyone that joined us for this evening's conversation. We invite you to join us again next Thursday evening, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.